Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And to finish up today, here's a question for the beginning of August. Who should be able to access a public beach? Well, in theory, everyone, of course. But if a public beach is hard to get to, except for a select group of people who live nearby, then that public beach begins to seem a lot more like a private one. And in that case, should everyone's taxpayer dollars go toward maintaining it? These are the sorts of questions at the heart of opposition toward a new federal resiliency project to extend the boardwalk at Rockaway Beach from where it ends now at 126th to 149th Street through the wealthier communities of Neponset and Bell Harbor. The city says the new project will protect the area from storm surges and make the beach more accessible to people using strollers or wheelchairs by adding ADA-approved ramps. But residents living in the affected neighborhoods are organizing to oppose the project, citing concerns about boardwalk culture and loss of privacy. They're threatening to sue to keep their portion of the Rockaways, in effect, private. With me now is Julianne Cuba, reporter for Streets Blog. Her piece on this is called Residents of Rockaway's Enclave Oppose Better Access to Their Semi-Private Public Beach. Julianne, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Can you describe in a little more detail what the city and the Army Corps of Engineers plan to build and why now?
Sure. So it's a $250 million project to extend the boardwalk, as you said, from 126th to 149th. It's actually wouldn't be the width of the current boardwalk that exists now. It would be 5 feet wide, which is what some residents are citing as their concerns. And it would also include zigzagging ramps that would take beachgoers from the street down to the actual beach.
Why does the boardwalk currently stop where it does if there's a public beach beyond it?
So that portion of the beach was actually privately owned, not part of the city jurisdiction up until the mid-1900s, and it was acquired in parcels through the early 1900s to the mid-1900s. And according to an article dating back to that time, the residents did not want to pay for it. They allegedly wanted the boardwalk, but they didn't want to have to pay for it. They wanted the city to pay for it themselves. And then after Sandy, when it was acquired by the city, the Parks Department said that there was some local opposition to extend the boardwalk through 149th, where Jacob Reef starts.
We have time for a couple of phone calls. Anybody listening from Neponset or Bell Harbor, what do you think about this proposed resiliency project? If you oppose a boardwalk extension through this section of the beach, why do you oppose it? Do you think it'll bring a rowdy culture? Do you think the project itself is flawed, that the construction is too narrow, like some residents have complained? Or basically, how do you defend opposing a public boardwalk project through portions of a public beach? 646-435-7280, or anybody from the rest of the Rockaways, 646-435-7280, for Julianne Cuba from Streets Blog. So the neighborhoods of Bell Harbor and Neponset have an average median household income, I see, of over $100,000, more than twice the rest of the communities that line the boardwalk. How much has their relative wealth played a role politically, their power, in keeping them from having a boardwalk up until now?
Well, I think it's, what we see in the rest of the city. It's people who are showing up to community boards who have the ear of our elected officials and have the time to, organize and oppose projects, whether that's like hiring an attorney to suss out their options or just being able to oppose it and have the power of being able to stop a project.
According to the Rockaway Rave, 84% of more than 1,000 Bell Harbor residents surveyed said they were completely opposed to the construction of the walkway. So it sounds like fierce and widespread opposition there. And some of the residents you talked to who oppose the project say they didn't want the boardwalk because they didn't want, quote, boardwalk culture coming into their neighborhoods. Can you translate boardwalk culture? Are you taking that as a racial thing or just a rowdiness thing? How do you understand that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a dog whistle for, you know, racial undertones. I think the, as you said, the residents of those communities are wealthier, you know, mostly white communities, as compared to the rest of the boardwalk, which is more diverse. So, you know, the rest of the boardwalk has music, people walking, you know, playing, like eating. There's a lot of concession stands, whereas now in Bell Harbor and Neponset, there is none of that. It's like, in essence, private. I was out there last week, and, you know, it's definitely quieter. So I do think that it is a dog whistle for.
Here's a caller who used to live in the Rockaways, Ron in Manhattan. Ron, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. I couldn't agree more with the whole dog whistle racism thing. The other thing I think that should be pointed out is the snob parking regulations that say you cannot park on the streets in Bell Harbor and Neponset from May until September, which clearly is, again, a way of keeping the riffraff out because we don't want to have brown people or other people on our beaches. It's just so obvious. That's one of the reasons I moved away.
From May to September, it's alternate side of the street, private beach parking. And you write about the difficulty in getting to that part of the Rockaways public beach, even if you have a car, in your article, right, Julianne?
Yeah. So, I mean, there is bus accessibility and the ferry to take people there, but there is no street parking during summer of the weekends, which is, I think, something that dates back to the 1950s and the origins of which are not exactly clear.
More on the parking policy, I think, from Adam in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Adam.
Hi. I think I wanted to make the same point that your last caller made. I was talking to your screener at the time, but it's about the parking policy, which seems to be ridiculous. Again, there's that, you know, no summer weekend parking. And also all the roads to the beach are technically fire lanes at all times. Again, I think that is a questionable, you know, safety, public safety policy. And it's more of, again, keeping certain people out. And it's been that way as long as I can remember. The boardwalk, you know, aside, there's other more obvious longstanding policies in the city that are in place there that do just this.
Adam, thank you very much. So, Julianne, despite not being accessible to the rest of New York City, what does the city pay for in terms of maintaining this area of what is technically public beach?
So if once the walkway is constructed, the Parks Department will be in charge of providing maintenance to it. And it does provide the lifeguards that are there now. And I think just general parks cleanup and the movie mats. But the federal government will pay for the actual construction.
So in our last minute, what happens next? I see the Bell Harbor Homeowners Association, along with other members of the community, may sue to stop the project. Is that where the next round plays out in court?
I don't know if there is any precedent for a project such as this being stopped by a community. The former president that I spoke to did say that they were considering doing that. I guess we will see.
We will have to leave it there with Julianne Cuba, reporter for Streets Blog. Her piece on this is called Residents of Rockaway's Enclave Oppose Better Access to Their Semi-Private Public Beach. Julianne, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Brian.
The Brian Lehrer Show is produced by Lisa Allison, Mary Croak, Zoe Azoulay, Amina Cerna, and Carl Boisron. Zach Goddard-Cohen works on our daily podcast. That was Milton Ruiz Marrero. No, Milton Marrero Ruiz at the audio controls today. I'm Brian Lehrer.